After John the Baptist is murdered, Jesus desires a time of solitude. Still, his compassion for others will not allow him to dismiss those who need him, and he is moved to perform one of his greatest miracles. Our gospel this morning comes from Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Now when Jesus heard this, that John the Baptist had been beheaded in prison, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place. The hour is now late. Send the crowds away so they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Well, we gather again for some family time around our family altar this morning. We're going to talk about prayer, and specifically, prayer as listening. So I want to tell you a quick story. Do you know that you can actually hear corn growing? I never believed it. Until I heard a story told by interim Bishop Dave Zellmer. He remembers being a young boy growing up and going to stay on the farm with his grandparents in the middle of the night, and this is in corn country, in the middle of the night, his grandpa roused him out of bed. They went out to a nearby cornfield, and they laid down in the rows between the corn head to head. And his grandpa said to him, "Now just be quiet, boy." So they had kind of disturbed nature by going out there, and there was quite a flurry of insects and animals making noises. But as they just laid there quietly, all of that noise quieted down as well. And pretty soon, interim Bishop Dave says, you could hear the corn growing, the plants popping and cracking. And then his grandpa began to talk to him about his faith in Jesus and how it was connected to the work on the farm and all that he did. So why do I tell you that story? You never would have thought that corn could talk. Do you know that Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can talk? The problem is we too often are not quiet. We flit and giggle and jiggle and move. But just sitting quietly with God is hard to do. Trying to block out the rest of the world for a few moments and just listen and pay attention and pray that God would speak to us and lead us. Let's pray. Holy God, in the busyness of the day, help me find a few moments to tie together in quiet. Help me build a practice of listening to you and for you. Through that quiet, through a small still voice, Lord, lead me. be the servant that you call me to be. Amen. Well, grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the risen Christ. I was standing in line for coffee after worship one morning in the fellowship hall at American Lutheran in Stanley when all of the sudden a force to be reckoned with, an 80-plus-year-old slight-framed woman looked at me and said, "So what are you going to do about it?" Her name was Norma. And Norma told me once upon a time that what she loved to do was take care of the old people in the congregation, going out and getting them groceries and the like. She was 80-plus at the time that she told me. Norma normally came into the sanctuary for worship about midway through the sermon. Now, not because she didn't want to hear the word spoken or preached, but because she had spent the morning up at the Bethel home playing organ for the worship service there. And that particular morning, the preacher who had been preaching there for years announced that the next Sunday would be his last Sunday. And Norma told me the story, and then she looked at me and she said, "What you gonna do about it?" So here's the story behind the story. The preacher at the nursing home had been a pastor in the area for a number of years, and then he became the administrator of the Lutheran home called the Bethel home. When he retired as administrator, he took on the role as the Sunday preacher at the home, 10 o'clock in the morning every week. Recently, Norma had begun asking him when he was going to retire. And this morning, he announced it. He was going to be done next week. And what, indeed, were we going to do about it? This gospel this morning, this gospel of incredible abundance of loaves and fishes, and what pops out to me is Jesus looking at his disciples as they ask him to send the crowds away. He just looks them in the eye and he says, "You feed them. You take care of them." In the midst of that statement, Jesus has just forced his disciples to open their eyes, to take stock or to take inventory, to look around and see what is available to them. 5,000 people, besides the women and children, and what they're able to scrounge up, 5 loaves, 2 fish, it looks like a paltry answer to an overwhelming question. But the text tells us that those disciples did not do the feeding alone. As a matter of fact, they brought what they had to Jesus. He blesses it. Then they break it up. They give it to the disciples. The disciples go out and do the feeding, and the people ate. The last few weeks, we have been walking through the Gospel of Matthew, listening to stories from Jesus or parables about what the kingdom of heaven might look like. The kingdom of heaven is like a sower who goes out to sow. And as he sows, some seed falls on a path. The birds of the air eat it up. Others fall on rocky ground, springs up quickly, but when the sun comes out, it withers away because it's got no root. Some of it falls among thorns, but it's choked out. Some falls in good soil, and it produces abundantly, 100, 60, 30-fold. The kingdom of heaven is like a small mustard seed. When it grows up, it begins to be the biggest tree around, and birds of the air come and they make their nests in it. The kingdom of heaven is like a bit of yeast put in with flour, and when it is mixed together, the entire amount of flour is leavened. Jesus is trying to grab us by our imagination and catch a glimpse of what the kingdom might look like. But it seems to me that we've moved from imagination to reality. I think Jesus is trying to help people physically see what the kingdom of heaven might actually look like. It might look like incredible abundance. This text speaks of abundance, not just a little bit. If you read the story closely, as the people eat, they don't eat just a morsel, just a bit. The text tells us they eat their fill. And when all of these people, 5,000 of them besides the women and the children, have eaten their fill, they gather together 12 baskets full. And now it's time for your imagination again, because I just wonder who got fed next. With all of those leftovers gathered together, who is hungry and needing and is going to get fed because of this abundance? It's really a stewardship text. If you listen to it closely, it's about taking just this little bit and seeing that it, when blessed by God, is enough to feed thousands. Stewardship is not about guilt. It is not about shame. It is about understanding that each and every one of us have been gifted and blessed in abundant ways. And if we share just a bit of what we have, if we turn it back to God, God can bless it and use it, in this case, to feed thousands. It seems to me it's an act of loving your neighbor. It seems to me in the midst of it, we get to see a glimpse of the kingdom. So I've talked a little bit before about the fact that I have started a continuing education process with the missional, known as the Missional Leaders Cohort. It's through Luther Seminary, and it's continuing some training that I've been doing for the last couple of years, trying to understand, in the midst of this changing culture and in the midst of this changing church world, how we help connect the gospel to people's lives today. Part of this process includes pulling together a group of people in the congregation to be partners. We had our first gathering of what we're calling the FIT team, or Faith Innovation Team, this past Thursday night, gathered on the lawn out along 4th near the Peace Chapel here on the property. We were looking over our shoulders for much of the night, wondering if the ominous-looking clouds were going to open up and pour on us. They didn't. But for an hour, we sat together, we read scripture, we wondered with a partner what it said and what it might mean in our lives. We talked about how God is real in our life, and we wondered together about the future. This process is grounded in scripture and in the faith practices, some of them very ancient, of this church, like prayer and scripture and listening, like the prayer of listening that I talked about earlier. You see, we fully believe that God is already active in the community, working out in front of us. We fully believe that what we have to discern is where it is that God is inviting us into ministry, and it comes with an understanding that God has already gifted us with absolutely everything we need to carry out the ministry that God is calling us to. In other words, God doesn't expect us to do something that God hasn't already provided us with everything we need. We've just got to take stock of what we have and listen closely to where God is calling and pulling and desiring us to be. These words from Jesus today ring deeply in the midst of that process. You take care of them, Jesus says. And so this group of people will be gathering together to pray, to study Scripture, to look closely, to listen deeply, and then to experiment where God might be calling us. So let me go back to Norma with you, this little spitfire of a woman. I looked Norma right in the eye and I said to her, well, I'm not going to do anything, but I'd invite you to come to the gifts group on Tuesday night. Now, GIFTS is an acronym for Growing in Faith to Serve, and we had about 14 people that would gather every month at American Lutheran in Stanley from the four churches of that parish. We studied Scripture, we prayed together, we studied the confessions, we studied pastoral care. Some of these people became better Sunday school teachers, some better youth leaders, some did it for their own spiritual enrichment, others did it and became lay preachers. But we talked together about the need for a worship service at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Bethel home. And it was really clear that it needed to be 10 o'clock in the morning. The residents were pretty straightforward. They didn't want preachers coming up in the afternoon doing worship. They wanted their service at 10 in the morning because in the afternoon, they went back to their rooms and they watched their home churches on cable access. So what were we to do? Well, one of the members of the gifts group said, well, I think some of us could go up and lead worship from time to time. And someone else said, you know, I bet that there are some leaders in the other churches in town. If we ask them, I bet they would help out. And someone else said, well, I know so-and-so over at the Baptist church, and I know so-and-so at the Catholic church. And pretty soon we had a list of who was going to call which churches. And someone said, well, I'll run a schedule and put it all together. By the time that the pastor at the Bethel home had retired, 3 months worth of worship services were spoken for. And the leadership in that gifts group made sure that somebody was up preaching at the Bethel home every Sunday. And as far as I know, 12 years or so later, it continues to happen. Jesus looks at us and says, don't expect somebody else to step up and take care of it. You feed them. You take care of the hungry. You take care of the forgotten. You take care of the lonely. You are the one that I have gifted. Take what I've given you. Use it where you are. See the abundance that flows from it and the ministry that happens. That's Jesus' word to us today. Let us hold to it fiercely. Amen.